Welcome back to the podcast, episode 84. As always, you're here with your host, Hoop Insaney. Today's deep dive is on Kevin Durant. I'm here with an Oklahoma City Thunder fan, so
you are?
we're gonna try our best to be objective this episode. But I'm really excited. How are you?
I have something really funny to say. While I was doing my notes, so the way I do my notes is I kind of just like summarize what I want to say, and I write down key things. So I try to be very unbiased in these deep dives if you've been listening to them up to this point. If not, go listen to them. But in my notes, I'll like look at it from a non-biased standpoint, and I'm like, don't be biased. And then I'll like read the last sentence, and it's like, well, and he's such a bum for doing that. This I'm like letting my inner thoughts out, and then I'm like, the amount of times I click the backspace on my keyboard doing this episode because I realized I'm speaking from the heart and not the brain here. Because, like, for example, like when we talk, obviously we're going to talk about the Golden State. The first sentence I wrote was, "He was such a snake," but leaving. but no, I'm actually going to be surprisingly very unbiased. So if you're an Oklahoma City Thunder fan, please don't be disappointed in me.
All right. I remember first making the segments when we sat down and we were trying to figure out what to talk about, and we're like, yeah, we should have a cupcake segment. But if anything, I really like Kevin Durant.
I do too, to be honest. So
let's try to be as objective as possible. The last thing I gotta say before we dive into this, bro, I already told you, but I gotta tell the viewers, I am on like my MJ, I don't wanna say flu game, but like it is like I'm the Iron Man right now. 82 games a season. So two nights ago, I get a text from Dwight Howard. Yes. Like through a DM asking if he wanted to do a collab post on Instagram. It was like 2:56 in the morning when he says this. So I wake up and I'm like, yo, let's do it. And, you know, I talked to a social media manager and all this. And now the next day I have to have it done along with my other content for my page and then this. So this is the end of, I think, 12 straight hours of work. But
we got to do it. And moral of the story is Dwight Howard deep dive coming soon.
Hopefully with him. Awesome. But I'm going to start off with the draft like I always do with Kevin. It was 2007 where Portland took Greg Oden with the number one overall pick. He was supposed to be a generational prospect. Or he was a generational prospect. It's just the injuries obviously caught up with him. Seattle at the time ended up taking KD at 2. Atlanta took Al Horford at 3. Memphis took Mike Conley. Boston had the 5th pick for Jeff Green, eventually traded to Seattle. So they got KD and Jeff Green, which I'll talk about. Milwaukee got Jian Leon, I believe is how it's pronounced. He gets some like 98 overall 2K My Team card every year for whatever reason. And 7, Minnesota took Corey Brewer. Charlotte took Brandon Wright. Chicago at 9 took Joakim Noah. And then Sacramento at 10 took Spencer Hawes. But KD's draft comparison coming out of Texas was Tracy McGrady / Dirk Nowitzki, which is impeccable, in my opinion. Is that not spot on?
That's actually an amazing comparison. I love how every player we've done so far has had like the most spot on comparison.
These guys got it. I mean, we talk down on like the NBA media and this. Like, these scouts know what they're doing, bro.
Well, the scouts are in media, so shout out to them. They actually like.
Hey, aside
have
from
a respected
Josh
opinion.
Scout, aside from that guy.
No, yeah, that was the dumbest. That bro really said his weakness was basketball.
I love those graphics where there was one with Steve Nash. Was it? It was like weakness is white. So you see those graphics on Twitter.
Real quick, I just wanted to say and point out, by the way. Because obviously, in hindsight, it looks like Greg Oden over Durant was like a really bad pick. But just as a little fun fact, when the Portland had Brandon Roy, Aldridge, and Oden playing together, they played a total of 62 games, and they had a 50-12 record. So Greg Oden was good. I don't want to be a hater on Greg Oden here. He was very good. Poor guy just had injuries.
The Trailblazers are a franchise full of bad luck. Sorry for all 60 Portland fans out there.
Damian Lillard requested.
I know, right? But the last thing I have on the draft is the Jeff Green trade, because the Sonics were the Sonics for one more year and then turned into the Thunder.
Ray Allen, right?
But Ray Allen was the guy who actually went over.
Yep.
So I have here, this is June 28th, 2007 on from ESPN. Boston Celtics acquired guard Ray Allen from the Supersonics for Delonte West, Wally Szczerbiak, and the rights to 2007 fifth overall pick, Georgetown forward Jeff Green. Boston also gets the rights to Sonics' 35th pick, which was Glenn Davis. Yep. So very cool to see how things play out.
Jeff Green goes back there too, which is cool to see. But
and there's also like a lot of times where they've met up, or at least I'm talking about Brooklyn specifically.
Yeah.
So they've played together a lot throughout their careers, which is very cool.
Yep. Yep. So I'm guessing that's it with the draft. You just kind of went over there.
We can't linger on the draft with Kevin Durant.
Yeah, we cannot.
There's a whole lot to do.
I'll be honest. I thought I want to talk about obviously Durant's rookie season. I thought you were going to touch more base on his rookie season, but that's okay.
Oh, sorry. Oh, I have like he averaged like 20 on like semi like 43% shooting, I believe. I have the lineup here. It was like Earl Watson, KD at the shooting guard, listed at the shooting guard. Jeff Green was a small forward with Nick Collison and Kirk Thomas. They were 20 and 62, ranked 29th in offense. But KD was rookie of the year. He was hooping.
Yeah, obviously. And it's interesting to say because obviously Kevin Durant came into the league hooping, and by his second season, he had already cemented himself. Well, by the end of his second season, he had already cemented himself as a top 20 player in the league. He placed third in most improved voting after having a 20 points per game season in his rookie year. So that kind of gives you a perspective on how much he jumped from an already very impressive rookie campaign. In his second season, Durant placed sixth in the league in points per game on 47.6, 42.2, 86.3 shooting splits with a 51% effective field goal percentage, raising it by 6% from his rookie season. He was fifth in the league in total points. Danny Granger averaged more than him, but he played less games. So in my opinion, Durant was a top five scorer in the league.
Hey, you gonna tell him why that jump happened? Who joined the squad?
Russell Westbrook, a top 5 point guard of all time, joined the squad. So of course, Kevin Durant, just like Westbrook does with every single one of his teammates, he elevates his teammates' game. Name me one player who didn't have a career year beside Russell Westbrook.
I threw you a nice alley-oop there.
Oh, thank you. And I didn't even have a note prepped on that. We do a deep dive on Russ. I'll go in there 4 hours, no notes, all facts. Anyway, somehow Durant doesn't make the All-Star game that season, though. And when I take a look at why he was snubbed, most media outlets pointed to the fact that his team wasn't performing well that season. Nothing to do with Durant himself, which in my opinion is kind of weird because I believe that All-Star should not, it's not like an MVP type deal. Like winning games should not affect your All-Star vote as much as the media seemed to have portrayed it affecting Durant as much as it did at the time, because a lot of outlets actually thought that he should have started in the West. He was playing amazing basketball at a very high level. Like his shooting numbers were great, and he gets snubbed due to his team's record. Obviously the Oklahoma were like a low 20 win team because obviously they're still on the come up, but Durant doesn't get an All-Star vote that season. In my opinion, he should have. And because of this, his second season's kind of, you know, we look over it, we don't really see it as like a pivotal year. But I want to tap into Durant's third season, though, because that's when the superstardom kind of starts. And that's where things really skyrocketed for him. And this was the year, in my opinion, that made the league aware that he was here to stick around. He put the league on notice and that this was the player who was going to rival LeBron James for the title of best player in the world. In that 2009-2010 season, Durant breaks out again. That season, Durant became the youngest player in NBA history to win the scoring title and led the Thunder to 50 wins. Fun fact, 50 wins as an 8th seed. That Western Conference was competitive. The first seed was 57 wins. The 8th seed was 50 wins. Every team that made the playoffs had a 50-plus win season. Ridiculous. But in that competitive Western Conference, he makes the Thunder get to their first appearance in the playoffs as the OKC Thunder ever. That was the beginning of Durant scoring supremacy in the league, and that was the start of him becoming the best clear-cut best scorer in the league at the time, placing second in MVP voting behind his rival at the time, LeBron James. Durant would obviously go on to have the scoring tear with the Thunder up until his last season with them in 2015-2016, and I'm going to list off a few accomplishments here scoring-wise.
Hold up. I got to cut it. You said in his second year where he was putting up 25, he was not an all-star, right? Because I just looked up the roster, and there was guys like Chauncey Billups on there, but I'm assuming it's like that's by position, and they had to put him in there.
Sure.
But the next year, he was second in MVP voting?
Yes.
Dang.
And keep in mind that second MVP voting, by the way, because that number, comes up a lot. That second number comes up a lot. But here's the thing, and that's what's kind of ridiculous to me, because I love how I feel like we're not shedding light on this enough. If you go look back, and I read a lot of articles on the 2008-2009 All-Star game, who should have been voted, who wasn't. I believe Melo also got snubbed from that year, by the way. And Melo was like an All-NBA player. Anyway, maybe I'm wrong. I remember another big name was there. But their main reason for Durant, the only thing they had to justify Durant not making it was this team's record. Which was kind of ridiculous to me because it's the All-Star game, which is purely based on individual performances and talent. Is it not? Like, I want to ask you a real sub question or a real quick sub question. Do you believe that winning should apply to All-Star votes?
No, I was never a fan of like the one seed has a chance at like three All-Stars.
Four All-Stars, yeah.
Cough, Atlanta Hawks 2015.
The super team. I take that statement back. I'll be honest, I knew I was wrong and I just had to continue it because
You had to stand. I mean, that
it
was
made a show.
Some of the
I
funniest 20 minutes of all time.
But. Yeah. Let's continue. But no, like, that's ridiculous, right? Like, what?
I agree.
But, yeah. I mean, anyway, I love how you bring that up. But anyway, real quick, I want to go back to, I want to note some of the scoring titles or the scoring records that Durant broke while he was on the Thunder. Youngest player in NBA history to join the 50-40-90 club. Second youngest player to hit 10,000 points behind LeBron James. One of five players in NBA history to win the scoring title in four or more seasons. One of eight players in NBA history to win the scoring title in three consecutive seasons. One of three players in NBA history to score 25 or more for 40 straight games in one season. One of four players in NBA history to average 20-plus for an entire season as a teenager. One of four players in NBA history to score at least 400 points during their first 15 games of the season, age 21 or younger. One of 15 players in NBA history to record 30-plus in 10 consecutive regular season games. Durant was on a tear when he was with the Thunder. Point being, Durant was a scoring machine. With discussions even breaking out, and I kid you not, if you go look at, obviously Reddit is a big one, you go look at these blog posts with sports articles, everything, fans were genuinely discussing, as young as 23, is Durant, could he be the greatest scorer of all time by the end of his career? The potential was there, and the conversation was there. Can Durant be the greatest scorer of all time? And you would be surprised at how many points backed up this statement. And the only thing that they had against Durant was the longevity needs to be there. From an eye test point of view, he looked like the greatest scorer of all time.
Bro.
Or one up.
Bro, that hezzy tween, bro.
That's different. And in Oklahoma, he was... Nowadays, his game is more mature. In Oklahoma, he relied a lot more on athleticism, which people tend to forget. When you watch Kevin Durant nowadays, it's a lot slower. He has a much more control of the game. Watching him in Oklahoma, he seemed like to be on like a hot seat. But up until the halfway point of the 2010s, it was clear that the league was in LeBron's hands, with Durant being right behind him, trying to grab the title of best player in the world. It's also interesting to note that the last three MVPs LeBron James won, so obviously his first one came with Cleveland, and I believe in 2008. So the 2009 MVP, the 2010 MVP, the 2012 MVP, and the 2013 MVP. Sorry, so the 2010, 2012, and the 2013 MVP, Durant won. LeBron won. Durant placed second behind Durant. Every single time. So every single time LeBron James wins an MVP, guess who places second behind him? It's Kevin Durant.
I'd swing at him at that point. That is.
In four of the first 5 years of the decade, Durant placed second in MVP voting behind LeBron James, and he won the MVP in 2014, of course. Now, LeBron was obviously a much better player than Durant. Not much player, but the better player when looking back at the two of them now. But it is also interesting to talk about and shed light on, because I feel like we tend to forget how much of a threat Durant was to LeBron before their Golden State days. When we think about Durant versus LeBron, we think about Golden State and how Durant beat him in the finals. I'll say it right now. I would not be surprised if 20 years down the line, we figure out Durant's main motive for Golden State was to get his get back on LeBron. Because I would be pissed if this guy was constantly just edging me out at
What?
Whoa. Pause.
What?
Pause, 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 pause,
what?
Pause, 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 pause. If he was constantly beating me,
you can't go on.
He was constantly taking the number one spot for a trophy while I was the number two spot. LeBron always had the upper hand on KD when it came down to it, having a better record in their head-to-heads regular season-wise and going 1-0 on him in the finals at the time. Now, obviously, that record changes, but he beats the Thunder in 2012, and the Golden State days are going to be brought up later in the episode by Hoop. We're not going to shed light on it right now. Now, the biggest concern with Durant's time in Oklahoma is how that squad was unable to win at least one ring in their time together there, making one finals run when they were super young and then being faced with disappointment season after season following it. Durant's first year in the playoffs, they fell to the soon-to-be champs, the Lakers, in 2010, taking them to six games, though the Lakers were winning. They took them to six games, even though the Lakers won off a tip-in in Game 6. So that their first time in the playoffs, they could have taken the Lakers to seven games, who would then go on to win the finals. So it was obvious that this team was here to stay and that Oklahoma was going to be a future contender, because their first taste at the playoffs, they took that Lakers squad, you know, in probably one of the most, outside of the Celtics, one of the most more harder series they had to play in that playoff run. In his second year in the playoffs, the Thunder had a great run going, making it all the way to the Western Conference Finals, but again, they get beaten by the team who would go to eventually win the finals in the Dallas Mavericks. They get beaten five, but Durant had a great playoff run, posting up 28.6 points per game, 8.2 rebounds per game, 2.2 assists per game on 44.9% shooting. His third year, they go to the finals. Once again, Durant dominates. We already talked about it. LeBron beats him out in 2012. But it's like, you know what? The Thunder are here to stay. You're seeing the trend where it's like, okay, we're seeing this young team and they're constantly making deep playoff runs. They're bound to get a ring. What happened? Let's talk about the 2013 season. The Thunder have a 60-win season, first time ever, and it looks like they're favorites again to make it out the West. They lose to the Grizzlies in five. Durant leads both teams in scoring, four out of the five games. Each game the Grizzlies won was by six or less. They won the game. They won most of their games by six and one of them by four. So it was constantly a game that just couldn't be finished by that Oklahoma City Thunder squad. But Durant did lead the team in scoring, both teams, four out of the five games. So I'm not going to say he didn't show up there. 2014, the Thunder have a 59-win season, second in the West behind only the Spurs, who ultimately beat them in six games in the Western Conference Finals. Although Durant gets knocked out, he still ends that playoff run, leading the whole league in points, total points for that for the playoffs. 2015, Durant gets injured for most of the season. The Thunder miss out on a playoff spot after being tied with the Pelicans for the eighth seed. Fun fact, the Pelicans get that spot because they won the season series, and this was due to AD hitting that absurd game winner. You know what I'm talking about, where he like grabs it off the inbound, clutches it. That shot actually created the butterfly effect for the Thunder missing the playoffs because the Pelicans get the win that night, which means that they tie their season records with the Thunder, and they beat the Thunder in that season series because they hit that game winner, which led to the Thunder being a ninth seed. Ridiculous. It made me so irritated. Anyway, 2016, the infamous 3-1 lead blown. The Thunder beat the Mavs in five, the Spurs in six, then they meet the 73-9 Warriors in the Western Conference Finals. The Thunder had a lead in the fourth with 5 minutes left in game six, and they still choked it. Most point the finger at KD. I've seen a few things around the internet describing it as KD having the weakest mentality ever. Now, when you watch back and you look at that series, I think that's a little bit unfair because as a Westbrook fan, I'll also say this. It was a collapse of their superstars. It was clear that Durant didn't trust Billy Donovan. It was clear that Durant started to play to the level of that team. He felt as if that team wasn't good enough built around him. But instead of taking matters into his own hands, he folded. And what did Westbrook do to respond to that? Westbrook responded by chucking up bad shots, which ultimately led the Thunder to just collapse.
Oh, you mean play to the level of the Warriors? He thinks the Warriors would shoot 10 for 31?
No, I'm saying play to the level of happened. The Thunder squad.
Oh, like Andre Roberson.
Andre, yeah, like it was as if like Durant was just like, look at the rely on him. Like he was like, he didn't play at a superstar level in games 4, 5, and 6.
I'm seeing, yeah.
Sorry, 5, 6, and 7. Like the pressure, you can clearly tell he gave up.
Well, in game four, actually, he shot 8 for 24, but they won the game by 24 points. It didn't matter. And in game seven, he didn't shoot all that poorly, but I think after he had the 12 for 31 game and the 10 for 31 game, he's like, all right, I got to relax. And he shot 19 shots, hit 10, but at the same time, like superstars are supposed to take the load on, which is going to be something that he does do later on in his career. But, right. You know, we got to be objective about this. He sold. He sold.
He sold. He did sell. But I'm not going to say Kevin Durant sold because it was a Westbrook thing too. Like Westbrook did.
I'll just say especially they both the shot sold, decision. So, yeah.
They both sold. It was a matter of Durant giving up on his team and Westbrook responding by chucking up bad shots, which was like the worst recipe for disaster. Now, it is stated that Durant knew he was going to leave OKC before that playoff run even happened, and it seemed more than obvious that Durant had given up on his team. He had no belief in that Thunder squad anymore, and it seemed like KD didn't respond to the pressure when it was time to close out games. Now, I'm not here to pin rumors on Kevin Durant, and I also don't want to make it seem like I'm trashing on Kevin Durant, but this series, again, was a result of KD and Russ going number two in the bed. They didn't show up when they needed to, and it was clear that team wasn't going to be together the following season. So what happens that following season? It's time to shed light on, I'm not saying this, but I think it's fair to say what most believe is the weakest move in NBA history. After blowing a 3-1 lead to the team that had a 73-9 record, Kevin Durant shocks the world by signing a deal with the Golden State Warriors. Now, I'll be honest with you, I had paragraphs written out sitting here going to trash on the guy, but I'm not going to push any narratives. I'm going to sit here, be non-biased. I'll admit I'm a diehard OKC Thunder fan, for those who don't know me. But my main purpose with these deep dives is to just give background on certain moments, certain players' careers. So instead, I want to give context on the decision. It's obvious that Kevin Durant was hungry for a ring, and he wanted to play in a system that had more shooters around him, aka the Golden State system. It is stated that if Golden State wins the finals in 2016, Kevin Durant wouldn't have joined them, and he's also stated that the Thunder were his second choice behind the Warriors. So, it's safe to say, using different quotes made by Kevin Durant, if the Golden State Warriors win the final in 2016, we may have seen the Thunder take another stab at getting to the finals the next season. Durant has stated that leaving the Thunder was due to him not wanting to be in quote-unquote not wanting to be the only guy that can shoot threes. And that in OKC, he played with a lot of athletic guys and not shooters. And after a while, he needed a change. And that this was before the 2015-2016 season that he knew this, that he wanted this change. So when looking at it from that perspective, I can see why Durant would choose a team like Golden State. I'm stressing the like here because I'm not defending the decision to join a 73-9 team after losing to them because the Warriors are a threat on the perimeter. They have a lot of shooters. And looking at teams that he was interested outside of Golden State with the Heat, Clippers, and Celtics, if Durant's true motive was to play on a team that can shoot at the same level as him, then from a logistical standpoint, Golden State made the most sense. But from a mentality standpoint, it was weak.
I think that's an objective thing to say that it was a... I don't know if I want to use the word weak, but it was like a sucker move.
I think it's weak. I'll be honest. Can I be OKC fan here?
Bro, you're disclaiming it, so yeah. Because they know you're not being objective right here. So go for it.
Okay. I'm being
OKC
fan.
As long as we're not pushing this as truth, you know? This is...
No. We're not pushing this as truth. This is me just... Because it's a podcast at the end of the day.
Go ahead and vent.
So we're allowed to slip in. We're allowed to slip in. This is a podcast. That was the weakest. That crap was the weakest thing I've ever seen a player do in my life. Hoop. I never cried that much in my life. I remember to this day, I was sitting in my basement and I was playing a tower game, like a Tetris game on PS4. I can't remember, like tower something. And I get the notie. Durant signs a 2-year, $54 million deal with the Golden State Warriors. The Golden State Warriors, July 4th, 2016. Bro, I remember just throwing my controller, having like a fit of rage. That was the day I became a man. That's when I understood that, you know, it's a business. It's not a brotherhood. It's a business. And it just broke my heart. And I just got to say this. It was weak. I think it was weak. You lost 3-1 to them due to performances that you had. And then you want to go and join them. Look, he's shaking your head. You know it. Imagine if Melo made the Eastern Conference Finals and he went up 3-1 on the Pacers.
I can't imagine that, actually, unfortunately.
But I just imagine. And then Melo goes number two in the bed, and you know what he does? He signs with him.
Man.
He signed with him. And the whole season, there's rumors that he's texting Roy Hibbert.
Real.
And he's calling Roy Hibbert in the parking lot after the finals. That's imagine how I feel, bro. Imagine how I feel. Nah. But I respect, you know what? I don't have no hate to Durant. I don't want to seem like a hater.
That is crazy. You definitely got something in your heart, bro.
Yeah, man. Dude. But I would welcome Durant on the show with open arms. And I'd welcome him as a person. He seems great. But as a player, broke my heart.
So we already kind of agreed before the show that we're not going to stick to the hour limit because Kevin Durant, there's too much to talk about. So I do want to linger on this for a second because I don't know if you saw when Kevin. So everyone knows that Kevin Durant's a Twitter head where he'll actually go around and try to fix his narrative. He just loves basketball maybe more than anyone else in the league. Like the only things he care about is getting shots up, playing basketball, and then talking about basketball on Twitter. So he joined this space of like a viral YouTuber. And he was talking about how like the way you guys consume basketball is trash. Did you see that? And how he's like, you should judge basketball.
And the guy was glazing him.
You should judge basketball players by two ways. Either they're good or they're bad. That's what Kevin Durant said. So what I'm saying is maybe he looked at the Golden State Warriors. And he's like, Steph, Clay, Dre equals good. I want to play with good basketball players. I think it honestly might be that simple.
That's fair. No, like looking back on it now, like I can understand why he went to Golden State.
If he's going to have more fun with the Steph Clay spacing than the Russ Roberson spacing, then that may have been enough.
I'll say this, and I remember, and now I don't have the specific article on hand, but I do remember in 2014 that it was rumored that Golden State was interested in Kevin Durant. So these talks could have started before that series could have happened. And if there was a thing that came out where Durant was interested in playing with them before that 73-9 season, before they go on this finals tear, and they just happened to go on it while Durant was on his contract with Oklahoma, fine. Right? Like, again, like, whatever. Like, you can hate on the decision, but at the end of the day, the decision was made. And he got rings out of it. I mean, we're going to have a little bit of a legacy talk. I know that. He got rings out of it, though. It's just the fact on how it happened. It's just the fact, Hoop, that it happened the way it did. And the cherry on top, and this is why I don't want to push this narrative that, oh, he was just being innocent and he wanted to play with Golden State. Westbrook frowned out through the news an hour later. He didn't even have the decency to sit down with Russ.
You're
and
the
tell
real
him,
MVP. I love you,
know
you brother.
What I mean?
He didn't
say nothing to him, bro. Like, Russ, when I saw that Russ found out through the news, that's what broke my heart.
Well, because
that's what broke my heart.
That MVP speech is like completely shattered. Those edits you see where it's like, Russ, you're my brother, man. And then you just see him in the Warriors jersey. That was the biggest sucker move in the history of sports.
That's why,
bro.
I don't like him, man. It ain't even the fact that he blew a 3-1 lead. I don't care. You know what? Maybe he did have interest in joining them before, and that might have sucked to happen, but what can you do? Blowing a 3-1 lead and losing 4-2 in a series, or getting swept, or losing 4-3 by going back and forth, or losing whatever it is, you still lost the series. It doesn't change. Like, blowing the 3-1 lead is just, it's embarrassing, but it's still losing a series, right? I'm not going to say, oh, because he blew a 3-1 lead. Like, they lost the series. I'm going to say it's because of how he handled it. To handle it by ignoring guys you've played 5+ seasons with, ignoring a guy like Westbrook.
Yo, who are the 5 best players you ever played with? Kyrie.
Like, James. Bro said Serge Ibaka.
I know, Serge Ibaka.
He said Serge Ibaka before Westbrook, bro. The guy said Serge Ibaka before Westbrook. That's what gets there. He didn't forget. I'm not going to push a narrative. Again, Durant actually just might be a forgetful person. And Durant actually just might be, you know, oblivious to that stuff, which is fine. Whatever. I don't believe that. Not for a second. Not for a damn second.
So how about we talk about his championships in Golden State?
Let's talk about it. You want to touch base on the dominance for a bit there? Because
yeah, it's interesting because I never really linked this to Klay. Obviously, like, if I were to think about it, he just loves shooting the basketball. But he loves shooting the basketball so much that he took more shots than freaking $30 million a year KD when he joined. I was looking
You remember his famous quote?
Klay's?
Yeah, when it was like, well, now that Kevin Durant's joining, you're going to have to give up shots. And he said, I ain't giving up shots for nobody.
I actually did not know that. But
Klay Thompson, literally in the media, they were like, yeah, so you're going to have to give up shots now, Durant's here. And he's like, I ain't giving up shots.
Yeah, yeah. But it's funny. I mean, in the playoffs, KD always took, I think, the most shots out of anyone. Aside from one year, he was like neck and neck with Steph. But in the regular season, he dropped off from 28 points a game with the last year in Oklahoma to 25. Efficiency went up slightly. But 2017 was just like a dominant year that we're going to get into the playoffs, but they weren't going to have a better record than they had in 2016. But it's like the closest you could get. Stephen, Kevin Durant, and Klay Thompson was, I don't want to see, like, I'm saying, oh, why didn't Klay give up shots? Like, he was disgusting in his prime. As a defender, Kevin Durant became a better defender with the Warriors, I firmly believe. And this was like a stretch that I would say is maybe the best basketball we've ever seen. I don't know if you can attest to that. But
I hate that I have to agree with it.
Yeah. Oh, you're in your feels now.
I really wanted to be not biased here, so I'm going to keep it. Yeah, I'm muting myself.
Hey, Russ was cooking in 2017, though. You got that out of it. They did have some epic battles that, I mean, the Warriors won a lot of them, but Russ had a couple cool, like, walk-off moments after dunks, which is cool for TikTok edits. But, you know, that's about it on that end. Why are you looking? Bro, I'm a Knicks fan. You can talk whatever you want to me. I've seen it. Oh.
Nah. Listen, all right, let's go back on Durant's rings. I got a few things to say about those damn rings.
I got some too. I was gonna have a pause moment, but I'll say some stuff too, yeah.
Okay.
You go first.
Start. Oh, you want me to start?
I can if you want. Like with 2017. Start. I think Kevin Durant, if you're seeing this, hello, Mr. Durant, but your 2017 ring is completely fake. Starting off, first round against Portland, it's a 4-0. He only played two games. It doesn't take much to beat Damian Lillard when you have Steph Curry on your team. So I do not attribute that series at all to Kevin Durant. You did not have any say in the first round against Portland. Now, the conference semifinals versus the Jazz, it was also a 4-0. George Hill injured his toe in game one. You had to play a team that starting point guard was Shelvin Mack. All right. I don't count that either. The Jazz were a weak team at the time for like going up against, like, as far as contenders go. And the only reason they were there is because Blake Griffin hurt his toe
Didn't Chris Paul get injured that same year?
I don't believe so. I thought he just choked. In 2017?
Maybe I'm thinking of a different year.
He's always injured. But I know Blake was the big one. But basically, they have two freebies, the Portland series and the Jazz series. And then they play the Spurs, where in game one with Kawhi Leonard, the Spurs were up 23 points in the third quarter when Zaza Pachulia injures Kawhi Leonard by getting in his landing area on a fadeaway, which is really hard to do on a fadeaway. Kawhi had
It was purposeful. You could see him like shuffle his feet.
And then the way he ran back, he was like, oh my gosh, how was that a foul? But I don't know. I have my suspicions. But Kawhi
it's 100%
game, real. Had 26 points in 24 minutes. He was like cooking the Warriors. But in the fourth quarter, the Spurs shoot 33%. Warriors shoot 65%. They come back and win, and then they just go on to sweep because I think it was LaMarcus Aldridge at that point and like a 39-year-old Manu. So that series is fake too. And then in the finals against the Cavs, KD had one of the greatest finals performances ever. But to get there, he had to do one thing. So
not a lick of work.
I mean, he was cooking in the finals. He had a great finals performance, but that ring is like on the cheaper end. I call it a hospital ring.
It's a wish.com ring. It's a wish.com ring. Bro, he did the
I'm gonna say this about 2017. That ring, how do I put this politely? That ring, you know what? No, you know what makes me even more mad? Who are we to say what rings count? We're just haters.
We got a podcast. That's what we got.
We got a podcast. It does count. And the funniest thing is, Durant could literally text us right now with a picture of his ring, and we would have to shut up. That's what irritates me the most. We would have to shut up. We would have to sit here and not say another word. But I'm going to say this before he sends me a picture of that ring. That ring don't count. No. That ring don't count. Just like you said, he didn't affect the Golden State Warriors at all on the way to the finals. And then when they get to the team that beats them, they now have this fully healthy unicorn to just throw on the court. Like, what the hell is that? What did Adam Silver smoke when he approved this team?
You know what's crazy? So I was watching because I saw the stats, and I don't, you know, my recollection of the 2017 finals, unfortunately, is poor. I have a bad memory when it comes to anything, which is really good for, like, movies, because I'll completely forget the plot, and I can enjoy a movie that has, like, a really hard punchline that I completely forgot about. But with the NBA, it's annoying because then I forget things that happen. So I went back and watched a lot of the 2017 finals. And Kevin Durant had more open lane dunks on fast breaks than anyone I'd ever seen in my life, because all these dudes are clinged to Stephen Clay. Everything was one-on-one. Everything was like a clear cut, like, beat your man, a 36-year-old Richard Jefferson, a LeBron who's not a great perimeter defender. He's more of a team defender.
Right.
They didn't have a great matchup for him. He was just murdering. And props to him. But it's just crazy how stacked that Warriors team was. And it honestly ruined basketball, because I was rooting for the Jazz when they beat the Clippers. I was watching that. I was like, yo, they just ended Lob City. And when Joe Johnson had a game winner, I was like, because I thought they were the most fun team in the West at that point. They had Boris Diaw, who was like hooping.
Gordon Hayward prime.
Gordon Hayward's prime. It was, but then they got stomped, and it was like, this is not basketball. So I got upset.
It's not. It's like putting a bunch of fifth graders.
I love how
kids.
Salty we are right now.
Let's just talk about 2018. I don't want to linger on this legacy talk.
Is this one real too? Is this one fake too?
I think it's more real than the 2017 one. I think the 2018 one is worth a little more, except for the fact that it was LeBron versus the Warriors.
Except for the actual
finals.
It hold up. We could call this a hospital ring as well. Chris Paul goes down in game 7.
I don't like saying that. You know why? I don't like saying that. I'll never discredit a ring due to an injury from the other team. And I'm not going to say more so a hospital ring by Kevin Durant. I'm going to say that's more so a choke job by the Rockets. That had nothing to do with Durant.
So Chris Paul.
Durant had a chance to lose, though, because they missed 27 threes and won by 9. So Durant did have a chance to lose. The Rockets just didn't capitalize on it. In 2017, there was no chance to lose. That's the difference for me. In 2018, there was still that pressure of like, okay, like we could actually lose this game and lose the series. There was never an indication of 2017 Warriors losing a series. There was never, ever a thought in anybody's mind that they could lose.
Can I ask you a question?
That's why 2017 is worth less than me.
Who was running that backup point for the Rockets? Was it Pat Bev?
No, he got traded for Chris Paul.
In that trade. I'm saying they ran Harden at point. Like, who was? Because Trevor Ariza.
I believe they ran
bumps.
Harden at point. It was Harden at point. Correct me if I'm wrong. Harden, Gordon, Trevor Ariza.
Oh, Eric Gordon. Yeah.
Eric Gordon, yeah. Like, it was a... It was a Rockets choke job more so than a Durant getting an easy route to the finals.
And then he had to play shooting 9% Kyle Korver in the finals.
It's insane. It's insanity. It's insanity, and it drives me insane. Drives me insane.
Can we head to Brooklyn, please?
Let's talk about how we left the Warriors real quick. In 2019. Yeah, we'll transition. Let me transition into Brooklyn for you.
Right.
In 2019, KD joins Kyrie, and the two of them head to the Brooklyn Nets.
The Warriors do a sign-and-trade where they receive D'Angelo Russell, who turned into Andrew Wiggins. Kevin Durant stated that this decision was based solely on him thinking of himself, which is fair, and that he felt the media always saw the team as KD and the Warriors, showing that they never fully accepted him as being a part of that squad, since everyone else was either drafted there or was there before the first ring. And KD was just seen as someone who just came along for the ride. He wasn't seen as that. He was that. Now, there was a huge speculation that KD left due to the issues him and Draymond were seen having on the court. And Draymond is infamously known for telling Kevin Durant to leave the Warriors and that they don't need him. But Draymond is also on record saying Kevin Durant made a mistake by leaving the Warriors, as he could have been happier in life. This is what he said. He would have been happier in life if he would have stayed. KD and Draymond sat down publicly to speak on the issues, and Kevin Durant stated that it was not more so the argument that him and Draymond had. It was more how the Warriors reacted to it and how the Warriors wanted to put a mask on it and make it seem like nothing happened and not addressing it, even though there was a clear problem in the locker room, and KD didn't want to stay in an environment like that. Now, speaking of the Brooklyn decision more, the 2019 season seemed like the year super teams were done and that superstar duos were forming. With the idea of super teams breaking, we saw a lot of common... It was very common to see star duos form, like Kawhi and PG, Kyrie and KD, LeBron and AD, Westbrook and Harden. Super team era is over. We didn't get to see the Nets in action during the bubble year, but it's always interesting to think what they could have done healthy, considering that that team made the bubble with barely any Kyrie action and no KD action whatsoever. He tore his Achilles the season before and he was recovering. So I'm going to skip ahead to the following season where Kevin Durant actually played basketball. Now, Hoop is going to go in depth on KD and his performance, but what I want to bring up is the revival of super teams. Halfway through the first season, Kevin Durant plays again. As we all know, the Nets destroy their depth to trade for Harden halfway through the season, and they create this insane big three of Kyrie and Harden. Now, in no way am I comparing this team to Golden State. I think Golden State was a much better team than this big three. And Kevin Durant was already on this team for more than a year, so I'm not going to label it as weak the same way I labeled the Golden State move, because the Nets ultimately make the decision. But it is interesting to see the rosters Kevin Durant had 1 year, or a season and a half after Golden State. And it is interesting to see how that big three panned out in the short time they were together. Now, Coop is obviously going to go in depth on how they panned out, but it's just interesting to see that Durant magically has... another super team. BS. Oh, and look what's look what's happening in Phoenix. Look what's happening in Phoenix.
Bro, this is such a nasty podcast. There's a lot of people click on Kevin Durant because a lot of them are probably Kevin Durant fans. So I'm going to give Kevin Durant some praise.
I'm a Kevin Durant fan.
No, you're not.
Of his game. I am. No, don't get it twisted. I'm obviously cracking some jokes here. It's a podcast. We can be ourselves. But Kevin Durant is a highly respected, I think, arguably top 15 player of all time for me.
Fair. But in 2021, when they get Harden, obviously their depth is pitted. But Harden, to be fair, was like, I mean, we talked about it in the Harden episode. He was MVP caliber. Kyrie Irving was excellent. Kevin Durant was excellent. In 2021, KD didn't play a ton of games. I think it might have been, I don't know if he was ramping up for like 30, if it was more like 50, but he missed a lot of the season. But in 2021, for the playoffs, they start off all healthy, and in the regular season, they did not play a lot of games together, but they steamrolled Boston, who was a seventh seed. This was when they still had like Daniel Tice, Kemba Walker. Weird era for the Celtics, like moving from like trying to win. I think was that Brad Stevens last year?
Yeah.
That was such a weird time. But they smoke him in five games. All the big three just plays insane. Kevin Durant specifically, 32 points per game on 55% shooting. Now, against Milwaukee, I think Kevin Durant played some of the best basketball that I've ever seen in my life. And it's a series that I think is like the peak of Kevin Durant. We're going to have a conversation later. I don't know if Brooklyn was his prime because he was not healthy a lot. But I do think this is the best Kevin Durant I've ever seen.
Fair.
And for all the crazy luck he's had fall his way in Golden State, it fell the opposite way in Brooklyn. And it, unfortunately, with recency bias, kind of destroyed his, you know, his narratives. Game one against this is the 2 seed Milwaukee. James Harden is injured 43 seconds into game one. Now, remember, they traded for Harden to pit the, I don't, who was exactly, it was like Jared Allen, Caris LeVert, a bunch of dudes got thrown away. So now you don't have James Harden, but you also don't have the depth. So now it's KD, Kyrie, and then you got like Joe Harris, who was pitiful that series. You got a younger Bruce Brown, Nick Claxton, who is not this really good defensive. I mean, he was solid, but you know what I'm talking about. Like, there's the role player. It was not deep. They had an older Jeff Green, a Blake Griffin, but there wasn't a lot. They win the game anyway. This is against Giannis, and the Bucks. Game two, Harden is out. The Nets win by 39 points. So it looks like at this point, they're just going to steamroll. Harden will get back, and then they'll eventually be in the finals. Game three, they lose 86-83. Kevin Durant does not shoot great because they're obviously all the gravity is falling on him now. And it was easier to score when Harden was playing. Him and Kyrie shoot poor. Joe Harris shoots 1-for-11 from three. I remember he was getting flamed this year. Not to mention their head coach is Steve Nash, which is very important.
Who ran a lineup with three guys 6'3 or shorter.
That was the next year, but he still did that.
I just wanted to give context on the type of coach he is.
Who is Seth Curry, Patty Mills, and Goran Dragic, I believe. And Kyrie. That picture is legendary, though. When Steve Nash is hugging KD after his crazy performance.
Yeah, he just like hugs him. Yeah, he's just like,
my dog.
you gave me a job.
Game four. So at this point, the Nets are up 2-1. Kyrie Irving is injured. Keep in mind, James Harden's still out, and he's supposed to be out for the series with this hamstring issue. Kyrie's injured. Nasty ankle. This is 17 minutes into the game with Brooklyn up 2-1. They lose at this point, and now KD is playing alongside Joe Harris, Bruce Brown, Blake Griffin, and Jeff Green. That is like the lineup they're running for whatever reason. Game five, now it's 2-2. Harden is forced to come back on a bad hammy. Kyrie is done for the series. He played 45 minutes and shot 1-for-10. At this point, like, I remember watching this and the commentators like asking, like, yo, is this worth it? Because he looked extremely slow. He was providing no value except for the fact that his name was James Harden and they might guard him a little closer than they would Patty Mills. Kevin Durant, however, had one of the greatest games in NBA history. 49 points, 17 rebounds, 10 assists, 3 steals, 2 blocks, 70% shooting, scored 20 points in the fourth quarter, and the Nets were down by as much as 17. That was the night PJ Tucker got murdered. I'm sorry.
So it should also be stated that PJ Tucker and Kevin Durant are close friends. So that's just kind of messed up on KD.
What? Oh, well, I do remember his mom and PJ going at it. Also that game, Jeff Green shot 7-for-8 from three, but aside from that, they were getting no help. In the first quarter, KD and Jeff Green scored the first 23 points for Brooklyn. Joe Harris hit a three with 8:55 left in the second quarter to open up the scoring for the other players. So that's just how much of a carry job that it was. Then eventually they lose game six, and then game seven, KD's foot is on the line. They ran out of gas in overtime. So all this like bad luck basically with Kyrie going down, Harden going down, and then the foot on the line, like it's, I don't know. I guess it balances itself out, but that was just, and then they would have had to play Atlanta in the next round and then Phoenix. So like
murder.
You think about that, bro.
Murder.
Ooh.
Murder.
I think that might be one of the biggest what ifs in NBA history, that super team.
I think that's fair to say, I'll say this. If the Nets win the ring that year, KD's legacy is seen at a much higher regard for me. I don't care that he had Kyrie and Harden. It's the things he went through, the games he had with Harden on one leg and Kyrie on no legs. And the fact that they took the Milwaukee Bucks to an inch away from winning, literally an inch away,
I think that that ring, that's a big what if in terms of Kevin Durant's legacy. Obviously, he still has a great legacy. I think that idea that his legacy doesn't mean anything is stupid. I know we look at the Golden State rings and we're like, I know I'll make jokes. But realistically speaking, you know, Kevin Durant obviously still has a very, very impressive resume when you look at his years in the league. But I think that Brooklyn ring puts him in conversations that he can't be put in right now. And do we see him in a top 10 conversation? Do we see him? You know what I mean? Like, there's a few more things that float around because now he has three rings. He won it when he didn't have any help because, again, Harden and Kyrie are out. And like you said, Jeff Green was the only other guy beside him that made a bucket until what? Like, say, the second quarter? Like, that's ridiculous.
Yeah, 8:55 in the second quarter.
That's ridiculous, right? So I think that Kevin Durant gets looked at a much higher regard, which is, it's an interesting what if. And I'm going to ask you this because I know that we like to like have a question at the end of shows to talk about players. And I want to ask you the question this time. Where do you think you're ranking Kevin Durant all time? Not only as a player, I want you to answer both. As a player and as a scorer.
As a scorer, I made a list about a year ago that we did on the pod, actually. So can you answer this while I try to look that up? Because it would probably be the same. But what's your answer? Hold up. Let me see if I can find
this. I have him at three.
My Siri just activated.
I have him at three with Kobe and MJ being above him for me.
I have MJ one. I have LeBron two. I think it's Kobe, KD three, Kobe four. I think that's how I have him.
Yeah. So top five, easily.
Yeah, top five.
Where do you rank him all time?
Well, I have Steph Curry at around the 10 spot. Yeah.
Do you have Curry over him?
I do. Yep. When talking like legacy, if we're talking the best players of all time, then I believe he is top. Like if we're talking peak, I think Brooklyn, Kevin Durant for, I don't want to say like just, if 2-3 games is his peak, but just even with the ridiculous efficiency he shot this year in the regular season before he went over to Phoenix, before the injury. I think that is a top 10 player of all time. Legacy-wise, since he didn't follow through and he got injured and we're kind of missed out on a lot of Kevin Durant, I'm thinking more like 16.
Well, that's fair. That's a good... In my opinion, I have him top 15. I want to say in the lower end, like if I were to make the list, I think I'd have to put him at like 15. But I think, again, if he gets that Brooklyn ring that season, I think he's in the 10 spot.
Crazy.
Crazy. But, I mean, I thought we were going to go way longer with this Durant episode, to be honest.
Me too. I thought we'd argue even more.
Yeah. But at the same time, you guys have to remember, like, it's like 1 a.m., me and Hoop out here hustling, working. We don't stop. The only thing that stops is the...
What?
I can't even think of something funny, man. I'm so tired.
Let's call it.
Hey, this was a great episode, though. This was probably our least serious deep dive because obviously we did a little bit of a banter there, but I kind of like that. I think we should start mixing in a little bit more banter.
I think
and
you guys should tell us what you like.
Yeah, let us know. Like we've given you guys a taste of both now. We've given you guys a very serious deep dive. We've also given you guys a little bit of a banter deep dive, but we've also still... Don't let it fly over your head. We went over like key points of his career, accomplishments he's had.
Oh, last thing. Bro got clamped by Boston in 2022.
Oh. Locked up. Another thing, too, when we talk about players who push culture in the NBA, we talk about Steph, we talk about Kobe, we talk about MJ. Kevin Durant pushed the culture for 7-footers who dribble the ball and shoot instead of just being traditional centers. So... Call it how you want to call it. In my opinion, Durant started the unicorn wave.
That's fair.
Yeah, that's a fair statement. All right. We appreciate you guys listening. This was Deep Dive for episode 84 of Kevin Durant. Hopefully on these deep dives, we'll start bringing some players on. That'll be cool. That'll only be possible, though, with you guys showing your continuous love. So make sure to keep showing us love on that end. Make sure to follow or subscribe to the YouTube. Follow us on Spotify, whatever it may be. Leave us a rating on Spotify. That helps us a lot. 5-star hint, hint. Respond to the Spotify poll if you are. We read all of your guys' comments for everybody who is commenting. It boosts our day, makes everything better. And again, we appreciate you guys for listening, and we'll see you guys on episode 85. Obviously, we're going to keep the next player a secret, as always. Peace.